Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we speak to Joe Collins, upcoming politician, and we get an update as well from Bald Brian in the health department. Also, as per usual, I have many thoughts on everything. First, I'll tell you about Scott's Turf Builder. Thicker lawn, man. Got the answer to embarrassing thin, sparse lawn. How about some Scott's, man? Don't be the laughing stock of the neighborhood. Scott's Turf Builder. You build a thicker, more green, or greener, beautiful lawn. Turn your lawn into a thick green paradise. 3-in-1 solution. Seed to fill in the gaps, soil improver for root development, and fertilizer to feed the new grass and thicken the existing grass. Up to 50% thicker lawn with just one application. Finally, the thick green lawn you've always dreamt of. No quibble money back guarantee as well. So if you're not satisfied, get your money back. Get thicker, quicker. This is a Scott's Yard.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, California congressional candidate Joe Collins. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and Dave Damashek's here for good sports. And now, today's intro joke has not been cleared by the problematic comedy approval board. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Mandate, you get it on, man. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing with a friend. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
Cool.
All right, we're going to get a health date. Health update from Bald Brian coming up in a couple of moments. Joe Collins will come in here at some point or zoom in here. He's running against Maxine Waters.
No.
I was thinking about it. I said, I don't even know anything about Joe Collins other than if you told me a pine cone was running against Maxine Waters, I would just vote for the fucking pine cone. Sure. So that's he's already got my endorsement. But he's a Navy guy. He's a 13-year Navy veteran. And starting to find myself, I was talking to Dr. Drew about this, like starting to find myself being attracted to talking to pilots and helicopter pilots and guys who fix jet engines and stuff, mm-hmm. because there's a kind of a math and a precision in their world that we've kind of lost. We've come unmoored from reality.
In a world of alternative facts that don't really exist in their world.
No, it's just imagine you maintain F-16 Hornets that fly off of carrier jets. There's no feeling involved. There's no what you know in your heart involved. It's all just that shit's got to work all the time, every time, every
but
component.
What if he needs to step into his truth? does he do that on his own time?
Yeah, because you launch it off the carrier deck and the F-18 steps into the ocean, which is its truth.
USS truth.
I was sitting around last night. And I kept getting these texts or emails from Nate because Sean Penn had tweeted out about Uppity, and next thing you know, Uppity was on the Netflix recommendation pile or whatever that is. And I thought, good, timely. I'm proud of the film. I want people to see it, and blah blah blah. And then of course, that gratitude and happiness quickly turned to anger because I was like, everyone loves this film. Why wasn't it accepted anywhere to any film festival of any kind? And I just got done talking to Nate, and Nate's like, we submitted it to every film festival. And I mean, Sundance and Tribeca, South by Southwest, Newport, Palm Springs, Hot Docs. They submitted it to every film festival, and it was denied or not accepted. Every film festival, or 20, and all the ones you've ever heard of.
I don't know anything about this process, but it almost makes me think, like, I wonder if they even bothered to watch it. Because if you watch this particular documentary, it doesn't not get accepted. Well, it's that, you know, the subject matter is incredible. The story is compelling. It's where we are. It's a triumphant story of this man who's still very much alive and well. It's like, did you bother to watch it?
I'd say probably not, but yeah.
I'm very good friends with someone who was a screener for I'll just say it, Sundance. His job was to watch the movie and make recommendations. It was like coverage for a script, right?
Right.
And let's just say that this man who loves movies didn't pay super close attention to every single movie that came across his plate.
Yeah. How could you, really?
You could, yeah.
And at some point, you see the name, you know, the Duplass brothers on it, and you go, okay, I'll watch this. And then you see Brillo Head Corolla on it, and you go, fuck that guy. And you don't watch it. But then I thought, all right, but, you know, how do we know? You know, I liked it. People, Sean Penn seemed to like it. But I went and looked. I went to my IMDb, and I said, oh, what's it doing on IMDb? What's its IMDb score? It starts with an 8, a very rarefied 8 on IMDb. It's 8.1 on IMDb, and the median is a 9. So its median average is a 9. And it's 98% with the audience on Rotten Tomatoes. It's not being reviewed by critics, so there's no critic reviews, but the audience has it at 98%. And then I went and looked at every other doc that won the Academy Award for the last 5 years. And which are great docs, don't get me wrong, but there's a couple that are Free Solos, an 8.2 with a 93% on Rotten Tomatoes. None of them scores high on Rotten Tomatoes, and most of them start with a 7. OJ Made in America has an 8.9 on Rotten Tomatoes. Oh, sorry, on IMDb. But if you look at the scores on IMDb or Rotten Tomatoes and you add them up, Uppity is better, and those are ones that won the Academy Award. Forget being nominated, forget being accepted to Tribeca or Sundance. So that is the world we're living in, people, and that's why people make business decisions. When Mark Duplass writes a Twitter saying Ben Shapiro's a decent enough fella and then takes it back, he's taking it back because he's making a business decision because he wants to get into Tribeca. That's an important business decision for him. When Drew Brees takes his I Stand for the Flag tweet back, he's making a business decision the same way he's making a business decision when he does a hook slide in the open field. It's a business decision.
He's running out of bounds.
Right.
I guess you could say on the other side of the coin, Colin Kaepernick made a business decision by kneeling when that was not the thing to do.
There's a lot of business decisions being made. Well, I don't know. You know, it's kind of interesting. Yeah, there's good and bad business.
Yeah, knowing that might hurt his business.
Either way, people are making business decisions because forces outside of the group who would normally watch the docs or get you on the New York Times bestseller list, they're starting to be polluted with sort of political things. And so people are having to figure that out since it's something that's random. You know, you know, Sundance sees, a 1,000 entries for documentaries. They got to pick 25 of them. So it's a pretty random process. Why not be on the right side of the business decision? But that is where we're going, and I'm not a fan of it because personally, I like the meritocracy part of life, where may the best doc win, or may the best quarterback win. That's where I'm coming from. But anyway, I will get into on Monday's show the New York Times bestseller list. But let's just say Mike Lynch is drunk and despondent. The last email I got from him. I'll tell you how
he spelled angry wrong.
He was so angry.
Yeah.
Well, he said he was drunk first.
Yeah,
right?
He said I'm drunk and I'm angry, and there's no E in angry, so.
Right? So
angry.
He's realizing that many books that did not sell as many units as our book are on the list. that have to do with different subject matters that are a little more popular.
But talk about math. Bestseller means best seller.
Yeah.
Most sold.
It's a proprietary secret herbs and spices kind of thing.
That doesn't make any, okay.
Yeah, no, it's not bestseller. It's a combination of sales and what they would like to see on their list.
Interesting.
It's a very interesting combination.
It's like Common Core.
Which I would here's the downside to that. You're kind of diluting your own brand. Now it's like, oh, I get it. This person isn't on. Mm-hmm. What does it mean? It's a slippery slope because you're kind of hurting your own brand by factoring in too many editorializing versus just counting units and putting it up there. But I'll follow up with that on Monday's show.
Poor Lynch.
All right.
I assume there's a bonus involved that's not getting paid out.
Oh, no.
Well, I don't know. It's just, I think when you spend a lot of time and you write a book and you get all the numbers back for the book, and you see you've outsold five books that made the list and you didn't, I don't think that feels good artistically. You know what I mean? And also, I think everyone would like to say New York Times bestseller. Like, you'd like to say it.
Of course.
And you sold enough units to say it.
I lead every fucking conversation with that.
Right. So, I was funny. I was talking to Sonny about it over dinner, and he's like, "Hey, you made it three times." And I said, "Yep." And he said, "Well, that's still pretty good." And I said, "Yeah, it is. Thank you for that." But I don't know. It's like now we're in some weird world where guys like Mike Lynch are upset because the New York Times has taken a bunch of woke books and putting them ahead of our book. And you know, unfortunately, in the past, you just kind of take them at their word. You know, now there's a bunch of digital data that's like, here's what Amazon did, and here's what Bookseller Week did. And you just you start getting raw data numbers, and you're like, what? And that's where we're at now.
Well, that's on you, because on the cover of the book, I'm your emotional support animal. Okay, okay, could be legitimate self-help for the yentas out there. Oh, no, it says all woke, no joke. How could we put our stamp on that?
I know. Anyway, welcome to the new world order, everybody. But I do appreciate you guys buying the book, because in the end, that's kind of all we have now. It's just you and me and us and the New York Times and the Tribecas and the Sundances. Those may be a thing of the past, at least for us. All right, Brian, health update.
Yeah, we alluded to it a couple of days ago. So the good news is that my insurance approved my doctor's request to put me on a new medication, not new, but a newish medication called Stivarga. Stivarga is a blood vessel inhibitor, much like Avastin was. And I'm gonna get it wrong, angiogenesis. It basically prevents the growth of blood cells, which feed tumors. So that's the idea. And you may be asking yourself, well, why don't you go back on Avastin? Well, my doctor said, your activity at this point is so small that the Avastin might not recognize it. You know what I mean? It might not attack it correctly, whereas the Stivarga is a little more aggressive. Mm-hmm. And boy, is it ever, because the first day that I took it, I stopped taking my chemo, which I've been taking for 6 months, started taking the Stivarga. I had an instant jolt of energy, which is awesome. It was just like when I took Avastin for the first time. I had this renewed energy. But on chemo, I was like done by like 4 p.m. I couldn't, you know, when the show ended, I was out of gas. Mm-hmm. And luckily, I felt this surge of energy and this sort of jolt. So that's really good news. It'll help more with Tessa, obviously. The first night I took it, I had cramps like in my legs, like I did with Avastin. So I'm like, oh, this is going to work kind of the same way. This is great. Unfortunately, there are myriad side effects, and they are fucking brutal. My blood pressure spiked immediately, and hypertension is a side effect. And luckily, that's kind of tapered off a little bit. It's gone down to a normal level. As you can probably tell, I have a hoarse, raspy voice. Mm-hmm. And that is a side effect. Sometimes it's better, sometimes it's worse. Sometimes it's worse by the end of the night. But my throat is like swollen and I have this raspy voice. What else is going on here? Oh, yeah, my tongue is like tender, like a candy spicy food. I can't even use my mouthwash anymore. I had to stop using my mouthwash because of alcohol in it. It would like burn my tongue. I get these stomach cramps almost, I wouldn't say constantly, but regularly. Like it's constantly going off, like just crampy stomach.
I can relate.
And unfortunately, I don't know if you guys can see this or not, but in the last literally 36 hours, I've developed this horrible rash on my head.
I can't really.
Like the light's shining from outside, so it's shining right on it. But there is, maybe on the other side.
I don't see it.
Not really.
Well, if you were here, Christy can attest. It is a horrible rash, and it's very uncomfortable. And
does it itch? Like, are you trying to
scratch? No, it doesn't itch, but it is like constantly painful.
Inflamed, yeah.
Inflamed, yeah. It sucks. And so I'm hoping that all of these side effects are proof that it's working. And I'm hoping that these side effects are, I talked to my doctor yesterday and said, hey, man, there's a lot of side effects going on here. Is that normal? And he's like, yeah, it most of what you're describing is pretty normal. Ideally, it'll taper off, you know, come on strong at first and it'll taper off. But the overall good news is I'm on this new medication. I've been approved for it. Insurance is paying for it. Despite the fact that the side effects are pretty gnarly and they're coming on pretty strong, I am very optimistic for a positive effect.
When do you go back for another MRI to see what it's doing?
MRI is...
Or whatever they do to see if it's working.
I'm going to check in with the doctor next week, just like a one-on-one, you know, just so we can see how I'm doing. But the actual MRI will be the beginning of August.
All right.
Doing so I'll have an update then.
Yeah, beginning of August is... what's it? Two? Wait, what the hell?
That's 2 months from when I started.
Which is... I'm having trouble with dates. I think it was this whole weird stay-at-home and shelter thing. I've lost... Yep.
Nobody knows what date is.
Well, I think I used to treat dates like days of the week. Like certain things were done on certain dates and they meant something. And I was always looking at a calendar about when I'm going out of town and stuff like that. And since that stopped, I've just gotten all fucking screwed up. All right. Good for now. And we'll know at the beginning of August when we get the next MRI.
Indeed.
All right. Let's see. We're going to do a little... people are going to call me about their Father's Day and make me jealous of the relationship they have with their dad. Let's talk to Jason from Idaho, 41. Jason?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm a little bit nervous to talk to be honest with you. I'm a big fan of yours. My first time calling in to the show.
Thanks, Jason. How's Idaho these days?
Well, it doesn't change for me much, to be honest. Life's pretty much the same, you know? I was a big fan of the man show. I was basically the demographic being a man and everything. But
checks out so
my
far.
Big thing. Sorry?
Yeah. Right.
My dad. Okay, so my dad's like a cool guy for his age, I think. You know, he like definitely considers himself a cool guy. He's like 60 years old. But he's got like a pretty good sense of humor, you know, like a decently edgy sense of humor and isn't like a square kind of dude. Mm-hmm. But he's got this, this one friend who's like this elderly dude, basically. And he's like, he's always got that, you know, the old man stink breath and the white stuff on the side of his mouth. And he's got the jowls and he's, you know, he's got that gross old man smell. Do you know what I could do to maybe tell my dad to stop hanging out with this guy?
Oh, you want advice? All right.
Breakup advice.
Yeah. It was probably not the theme of what we're doing here, but sounds like he's going to die in about 10 minutes. Maybe just wait it out. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Be the bigger man.
I mean, that's not a good thing to say, but his name's Dennis Prager.
Oh, now you're making fun of Dennis Prager. I love Dennis Prager. Well, now we don't want Dennis to die because that guy's my that guy's my favorite.
That's tough.
You know what? I'll balance it out a little bit. You know what? I was hold on a second, Jason.
You're trying to put yourself in a bad spot. Almost feels like this was maybe a prank or something.
Let me balance it out a little bit. I was a new purchased iPad was purchased for my dad, and I'm loading up a bunch of stuff that I think he would like, and I put up there Dennis's Fireside Chats. And so while I, you know, subscribed to it and did all this stuff, I started listening to a few of them. Mm-hmm. Really like the Fireside Chats.
I agree. I like him. I like his, he usually has his bulldog sort of sleeping at his feet. I've done it before. I think I was a guest on it once, but yeah, it kind of made me want to do that. I mean, I have a fireplace. Yeah. I have a dog. Yeah, why not?
The one thing that really stuck with me, and you know, he has a lot to say about a lot, but one thing I really liked, he said, there are two kinds of people in the world. I only put you in one category or the other. Decent and indecent. Are you a decent person? Are you an indecent person? And for lack of a better word, meditated on that for the rest of the day.
That's the way I feel. Like, you pay your taxes, you take care of your kids, you don't litter, and you're on the happy side of the ledger. I've always said, look, there's just a ledger. You're either on the side where you pay taxes and you live in this community, or you're on the side where you fucking burn cop cars, or you don't pay taxes, or you don't raise your kids, or whatever it is. If as long as you're on this side, the happy side of the line, then we're fine. And the reason I'm doing the math, which is, if everyone was on the happy side of that line, then we wouldn't need to lock our doors at night, and we wouldn't need prisons, and we could defund the police. Like, if everyone is just on that side of the line, the happy side of the line, whatever your politics are, pay your taxes, raise your kids. There we go. All right. All right, so let's make Adam jealous. Brought to you by Tommy John, and let's try Matthew here. Matthew, 35, from Texas.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I love you guys. So my dad was never really around, so I was raised by my grandpa. So he's basically, I do stuff for him for Father's Day instead.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a real manly man, lives in Louisiana, like worked on trucks and cars and vehicles his entire life, has his own little farm, real. So growing up, I was always kind of scrawny and nerdy and really, really looked up to this guy. So for Father's Day, I'm a trucker now. And so I travel the country all over the place. And it's interesting to see how I've almost become like a younger version of him as I've gotten older.
Yeah.
And like, I look like him, and younger pictures of him look just like me. And our tastes have almost perfectly aligned for like foods and stuff that I used to not like. And so I pick up stuff from all over the country, and I'll make a little basket for him for Father's Day, and just give him a whole bunch of goodies, and we'll just kind of sit around and try different things and talk and kind of catch up on stuff.
Give us examples of what you pick up when you're traveling the highways and the byways.
Okay, so things that he likes: pickled stuff. So I get like pickled beets. I've really come to like. He enjoyed those as well. Different ones taste different too. Pickled garlic, dilled cheese curds, which is really a weird taste. It tastes like pickle flavored cheese, I guess.
Yes, and
I've got like,
yeah,
yeah. I've got what was it? Like the cactus fruit honey based from cactus fruits, because he does a lot of like honey on toast and biscuits and gravy and biscuits and honey, and my grandma makes homemade jelly and all that sort of stuff. So
is your grandpa pregnant?
Just kind of sit around.
Pickled ice cream.
I mean, he's all sorts of stuff like that. Different kinds of like candies, different like travel centers and
hey, Matthew,
the Amish.
Amish. What is your route? Like, how much ground do you cover? You're not driving a local route, right?
No. I drive an average of 660 miles a day.
Ooh.
In a semi truck?
Yes, sir.
Wow. So an 18 wheeler, and you're going over 600 miles a day.
Yeah, a lot of the times we'll go California to New Jersey.
Damn. Oh, wow.
Matthew sounds like Bubba from Forrest Gump. Popcorn, shrimp scampi.
pickled herring, pickled shrimp.
It's great getting to see the country and then see foods and snacks and stuff, treats and stuff that are local to different places.
Yeah. I love it.
Matthew, you sound like you weigh 800 pounds because you sit all day in a semi truck and think about food. Are you a big man?
Not at all. Wow. I've gained a little bit, but I'm still only like 220.
Are you sleeping in your cab?
Yes, I have a co-driver, so we have a bunk bed in our truck, and we have a fridge and cabinets and all that sort of stuff in the truck.
What must go on? A young Bob Bryan. I would say, nice. What must go on there?
Yeah. And you get along well with your co-driver?
I never really have to talk to him, except for when we're swapping shifts. So it's great.
So you can literally, that truck never stops moving. I mean, it's literally sleep.
Except for when, just whenever we get fuel and when we swap shifts.
How long can you run continuously without fueling?
Probably at least a day, at least 24 hours.
So you can get from California
to 11 miles to the gallon.
You get from California to New Jersey in how long?
It'll take about two and a half days.
Wow.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. All right, I'm going to send you out some Tommy John, Matthew, although I don't know where to send it. It's somewhere between California and Camden.
The Flying J and Phoenix.
I have a place that I get all my stuff sent to, and I get maybe a weekend off a month that I'll swing by and grab my stuff.
And are you making six figures driving a truck?
Not six figures, but it's pretty good money. I mean, averaging like $1,000 to $1,200 a week.
Wait a minute. You should make more than that, shouldn't you? I feel like you should get paid more than that.
That's after taxes.
Okay. So. After taxes. Yeah. All right. So what do you make in a year before? We're doing a math here, but you making like 80 grand a year, something like that?
I don't know. I pay someone else to do my taxes, and I just try to enjoy myself while I'm out here. So,
good.
I mean,
yeah. All right.
This guy's a poet.
Yeah, I like that he's zen.
Yeah, I like him.
Hey, Matthew, can you sleep?
Yeah.
When you do finally get back to your home base, do you have difficulty sleeping without that sort of rocking and diesel vibration that you're so used to?
It is harder because it's weird. I'm sure you can attest, like, there's times where if it's too quiet or something like that, you'll wake up and be like, all right, something's wrong.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so, like, whenever the truck stops, I wake up and I'm like, okay, what's going on? Am I swapping shifts? Are we getting fuel? What's going on? Like, why is it quiet all of a sudden? And it's like the same thing at home, but it's like always quiet. So
thanks. Thanks, Matthew. I think they have, you can get all sorts of stuff for your mattress now. You could probably get a little vibrating thing or something.
Oh, yeah.
Just did like, you know, just if you're used to that. My parents, way back in the day, I wouldn't go to bed and they'd put me in the back of a VW Bug and they'd just drive around in a circle and I would immediately fall asleep. All right, let's see. Sergio, 60, Orange County. Sergio.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Good, man.
Paul, Gina.
What'd you do on Father's Day?
Doing all right. So Father's Day, wife got me up. We went to Laguna Beach, had a nice little walk on the beach, and then got me my favorite cup of coffee. And when we get home, I've got a 25-year-old and a 13-year-old. Don't ask.
Yeah.
Both had 13-year-old made pancakes from scratch, and the 25-year-old made biscuits and gravy from scratch.
Ooh, la, la.
So we had that, and then sat down and watched our favorite movie, Outlaw Josie Wales. My favorite movie, Outlaw Josie Wales.
Speaking of Clint Eastwood. Really? Does that movie hold up, the Outlaw Josie Wales?
Yeah, I dig it. I think it's one of the best Westerns ever made.
And that's a spaghetti Western, right?
I don't think so.
Oh, it's not a spaghetti Western. Oh, no. It was made probably after that whole episode in Clint's life, but not too far after. Must have
I
done
think he's
the,
got the new horse in that one. So
done the spaghetti Westerns and then came over and did the Outlaw Josie Wales. What year is that?
76.
So, yeah, must have.
Oh, directed by Clint Eastwood.
Oh. Hmm.
That's why he likes it.
Now,
so good.
Does anyone else in your family, will they sit with you and watch you eat biscuits and watch the Outlaw Josie Wales?
They all sat there and ate them with me. So they kind of tried to get halfway through the movie and I made them come back.
Yeah, this thing. I mean, All right, we're going to send you out some Tommy John too, Sergio. Thanks. This thing, when I was a kid, you were just captive. You know what I mean? Like if my parents went to listen to something or watch something or go somewhere, you just had to like sit there. There was no getting up and leaving, you know. My son got 35 minutes into Master and Commander and decided it wasn't for him and just got up and left. Like that wasn't on the table. Do you guys remember all the horrible like errands you would run with your parents? Like we're at the DMV, sit over there. I gotta wait in line. There's a book on transmissions, automatic versus manual shift. You can look at that. You know, the weird appointments. Like it was always like some appointment or somewhere they were going or they had to get something done, and it's like you sit there.
That's why I don't do scavenger hunts, and I've never done scavenger hunts. I had an ass full of somebody else's errands when I was a kid. I'm not running errands as a game. I hate that stuff.
The places smelled weird.
Yep.
The tile was weird, and there was always that fiberglass formed chair that was sort of connected to five of them in the corner. Like, hang, you wait there. I got to go in and do this over here.
It always had gum stuck to it.
But what was the premise? Oh, they couldn't afford a babysitter, or you were nine, so they wouldn't leave you at home. So like dad was at work, so you're just going with them. Is that?
Yeah. I remember like going to the dentist from my mom's dentist appointments, and I used to have to sit out there for 45 minutes or an hour and just look at whatever magazines they had. Yeah.
Right. And my kids don't go anywhere that don't want to go now. It seems weird. I don't know why there's like seemed like to be a different set of rules we're playing by or something. But I remember going to even like the occasional party with all the adults, and I didn't want to. They're all weird, and I didn't want to hang out with them, and just sort of standing around, going into the kids' room who wasn't there, but maybe had some toys I could screw around with. It's a weird world.
When you talk about, you went
your mom to work every day.
That's right. She would take me to work, and I would just wait in the car till right before school started, and I'd walk from her work to school, which is about half a mile.
Oh.
Jesus Christ! I could imagine what that pitch would sound like. Like I'm going to take Sonny and Natalia with me to work, and then they can just walk to school because I got to get to work. It's like Jesus Christ! I'd be arrested. All right, let me hit Tommy John here. I'm going to stay sweat-free this summer. Tommy John, summer ready by baby. Ultra-breathable underwear and bras, cool cotton underwear. Men and women love this stuff. I love this stuff. I'm wearing my Tommy John. Well, I'm wearing my Tommy John underwear right now, and I'm also wearing my Tommy John T-shirt. I hop on that rowing machine. I hit it hard for half an hour every night. I work up a big time sweat, and then the stuff just dries on me as I walk around the house. I always think, oh, I got to change. No, it just dries on me. It's that good. Tommy John, it's the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free. They got a guarantee. Step up to the best, and they got loungewear as well, and Zoom ready tees and polos. Get yourself some Tommy John's, the best, right, Dawson?
For a limited time, go to TommyJohn.com/Adam and get 20% off site-wide. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off site-wide. TommyJohn.com/Adam, Seaside for details.
You know, all this stuff we always talk about, like then and now with the parenting, it's funny. Everyone always kind of talks about smoking. Like, oh, my dad would drive me in a cold morning. He'd be smoking in the car and the windows would be all rolled up and everyone is horrified. But there are probably 1,000 other activities that people should be horrified to as well. Sure. Like just like, again, could you imagine just attending? Imagine Tessa just going to your dental appointments, just sitting there
alone. Yeah. With random strangers coming in and out for the in the waiting room. My dad was a delivery man essentially for many, many years for a food manufacturing company, manufacturing distributing. And his work vehicle was his home vehicle. It was a windowless white van, white like Chevy van, meant to transport, you know, food products. And he would take me and my brother on the regular, I mean, 5 days a week to like little league practice and soccer practice and just, hey, sit on the wheel wells in the back and hold still.
Yeah, you just sit.
That's wildly inappropriate.
You just sit in a tin can. No belts, no seats. No, nothing. It was like literally just, I have a van that's a work van. It's just a tin can. You just sit there. There's some sort of illusion of safety, but no, there is no real safety whatsoever. All right. We'll talk to congressional candidate for California, Joe Collins, right after this break.
I'm your emotional support animal, navigating our all-woke, no-joke culture.
In today's society, being a victim, overcoming racism, and being brave and fearless are currency.
Written and narrated by Adam Carolla.
In the 70s, it was let your freak flag fly. In the 2020s, it's let your weak flag fly.
Available now in all formats. Pick up a copy now at adamcarolla.com.
Joe Collins is joining us. He's a congressional candidate from California's 43rd district. He's on a congressional run, and that's why we're talking to him. He's running against Maxine Waters, and Maxine's areas, Hawthorne, Lawndale, Gardena, Inglewood, and Loma Linda out here. And you guys know Maxine Waters because she's an international or sort of national face. You see her on the news a lot, talk shows. How long has she been in, Joe? Feels like forever to me.
It has been forever. I'll tell you this. She's been the congressperson in South L.A. whenever I was a boy, and I'm 34 years old. So that tells a lot about, you know, how long she's been in the district.
I met her many years ago doing Bill Maher's show, Politically Incorrect. God, that must have been 99, could have been 98. And I remember having a conversation with her, and then that night I came back to do Loveline and I saw Dr. Drew and I said, she's crazy. She's she's like Aunt Esther, like she's nuts. I wasn't talking politics with her. I was talking some other issues with her and she seemed nuts to me. I really feel like she seems legitimately crazy. She was first elected in 1976. Brian, when were you born?
78.
Wow. She's got 2 years on you. So what are your qualifications, Joe?
Well, the first qualification is that I'm actually from South L.A. I was born and raised in South Central Los Angeles. And, you know, we all know Maxine Waters is from St. Louis. Aside from that, I've seen the destruction that her type of leadership has caused on the community of South L.A. Served in the military 13 and a half years. So I have tons and tons of leadership experience that I can bring to our district when it comes to problem solving. And, you know, we need leaders. We need younger leaders. I know she's in her 80s. She's very out of touch with the district. She has a poor leadership style. And as you said, she is a little cuckoo. But we need more innovative leaders. You know, we're in a technology age. We're constantly moving forward and she can't keep up. And this racist rhetoric that she uses, this hateful rhetoric that she uses, it doesn't work in our community anymore. You know, so we need better leaders, not just for myself, but a lot of young people stepping up to take charge of our communities.
Well, what's the plan? Because I've been out in Southern California. I grew up in North Hollywood, California, basically never left. And I didn't grow up in South Central. But of course, I was always aware of it because it was, you know, 10 miles from where I lived. What is the plan? What is your plan?
Well, my plan to win or plan to rebuild the district?
Well, what would you do if you were in charge?
Well, the first thing I would do is we need a lot of economic development in South Central Los Angeles. But we have so many taxes. We need somebody that's going to take on Gavin Newsom and the rest of the California Democratic conglomerate to get them back in line with the federal constitution when it comes to taxes. The taxes has caused the cost of living to be tremendously high, and it's unaffordable for a lot of people. And after we get that together, then we need to incentivize companies to come back to Los Angeles and give the people who live in these communities quality jobs, not just, you know, jobs where like minimum wage jobs or whatever it is, the socialist leftist jobs and what they talk about. But we need quality jobs, things where people can have more money at the end of the month instead of more month at the end of their money. We also need to tackle our education program. Right now, we have a graduation rate from high school at 77%, which is pretty low. We have a college graduation rate at 22%. And our schools, I think we fall between number 47 and 49 in the entire country. So we have to tackle that education program. And as everybody know right now, the rift between the communities and law enforcement. We have to start building that trust between the law enforcement and the communities. And those are my top goals right there.
I have you guys at number 48 in education because I didn't get a good education either growing up in SoCal. But if you fall between 47 and 49, I got you at 48.
I like
vouchers and school choice and competition in education. Also, a lot of it is not based on something I woke up with yesterday morning. I went to the LA Unified School District. It was bad when I went there in the 70s and 80s. It seems worse now. And this notion of like, we need better schools and more tablets and better teachers. Like, we need some competition. That's the way I feel about it. But I don't know what your stance is on that, Joe.
I'm for school choice. Anything that adds a competitive edge, because I am an athlete. I am have been a part of the legacy of the world's greatest military who has never lost the war. So I'm all about competition. So anything that'll make our school system more competitive, I'm with. And school choice is one of those things.
What would be, and I don't know if you've taken a deep dive on this or not, but like, what is LeBron's school? Is that a charter school? Is that a magnet school? Like, I don't know what his school is, but he has a school. He started it outside of, maybe it's in Ohio somewhere, probably.
Yeah,
and I don't know. I don't like all the unions. I don't like the you can never be fired. I want teachers that stay longer and work harder to get paid more. I want the ones that leave earlier and work shorter days to get paid less. Like, I want it just to be like a job, like regular jobs. Like, if you want to put in some Saturdays, you're going to get paid for it. And if you suck at your job, we'll fire you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the unions has a big hand in, you know, where teachers go when they underperform. But, you know, I think the principals need to have the ability to fire and hire teachers that fit the criteria of the needs of the schools. I know right now they take the underperforming teacher and they'll put them right in inner city. So now we have inner city school teachers that are underperforming, not only on a national level, but now they're creating an environment in our school to where our students aren't getting the proper education.
So you get and I don't know how it is with the cops, but I'm starting to think, look, if you're a cop or your school teacher, I think you'd rather patrol or teach in Beverly Hills than you would in South Central, right? Makes sense. So at a certain point, the ones that are better, more experienced, and have more seniority are probably going to get out of there. And the ones that are newer and worse at their job might get in there. And now you have this negative cycle. Now, not only do you have tough neighborhoods and tough schools, but you have teachers and maybe cops that aren't the cream of the crop. I never even thought of that, but it does seem like a self-perpetuating situation over there. So when is the election? And this is going to sound stupid, but are you a Republican or a Democrat?
Our election is in November 3rd, and I'm definitely a Republican. It's nothing that anybody can say to make me go back to the Democratic Party. I grew up as a Democrat in South LA. My parents and grandparents were Democrats. They don't even know why. But when you look at the history of a Democratic Party, I mean, a party that enslaved Black people, created laws to keep Black people down. I couldn't go back. I don't care how much, you know, and I hear this all the time. People say, well, the party switched. That's just like telling me, you know, a woman coming to tell me that, hey, I used to have AIDS. Would you date me? It's like, absolutely not. Well, I don't have it anymore. It's like, what a thought that you had it. You know, I don't want to go there. I don't even want to be a part of that. So, well, the fact that the Democratic Party created this atmosphere to where they enslaved Black people, hung and killed them on a regular basis, it's like, I'm cool on that.
I don't care. I mean, this is going to sound a little insensitive to a Black man, but I'm not that interested in the past. I'm very interested in the present and the future.
Absolutely.
And what I have learned is giving people stuff or promising them stuff doesn't work, and I don't think it's being delivered. I feel like a lot of these Democratic cities have been talking about what they're going to do for black people for a long time. But then when you sit back and you start looking at, you crunch the numbers and you look at crime statistics and graduation and standardized testing and stuff, it's not happening. I just don't feel like it's happening. There's got to be a new direction to go here. Hopefully that's you. But you take a lot of shit for being black and being a Republican?
No, not necessarily. I take more shit from being a Republican, from the Republican Party or mainstream Republicans who feel like they have what it takes to be a Republican, and I don't fit that description, being a black Republican.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of tough out there.
Well, give us some examples of that.
So, you know, when I decided to run for Congress, everybody was like, oh, that's great. You're a black man from South LA. You can relate to these people. Maxine Waters destroyed the community. She doesn't do anything for anybody. And I'm like, great. Well, let me start doing things for people. And so, you know, I've stood with the police department in solidarity. I've marched with the protesters against police brutality. I've led protests to reopen California. We've encouraged the mayor of Los Angeles to put more money back into the communities. And I guess all of these things make me a Democrat. So these are the things that I hear from them. And then in my mind, I'm like, well, you just said that nobody's taking care of our communities. We had the lockdown. We don't have great jobs. So a lot of low income families need help. A lot of small businesses need help. A lot of our senior citizens need help. So when we incentivize the mayor to put more money back into the communities, how is that bad?
Do you guys envision another party rising up that can just cherry pick what they agree with from each side and sort of go their own direction? Because that makes the most sense. What's that?
You see Chaz up in Washington, right? That's their own party. I think they kind of cut the cake, even though the organization is terrible. I've watched that for a couple of days, but it's ridiculous. They try, but you know, when it comes to organization, raising money and doing what it takes to actually create a party that's going to be beneficial for everybody, I don't think, you know, anybody has the time or the patience to do anything like
that. So we got November 3rd is the election. What do you think? How do you like your chances? Have you Maxine Waters not going to debate you or do anything like that, is she?
No, she avoids me like the plague, like coronavirus. I'll tell you that. But I doubt she's going to debate me. But we're doing very well in our district when it comes to being visible with our marketing and advertising, being able to help our communities. We've been all over the place. So we're doing good. We're polling pretty good, too. Our team has been running polls in the district and everybody's ready for new leadership.
Well, what I can never figure out about someone like Maxine Waters is what is attractive about her other than she's a Democrat, I vote Democrat. Is that the equation with
or just
it?
The familiarity? It's been so many years.
Yeah, familiarity is one of the biggest things. But another thing is we have low voter turnout. You know, when you look at the quality of candidates that has been able to run against Maxine Waters, I would probably choose Maxine Waters also, you know, regardless of, you know, the rhetoric, because we can always count on Maxine Waters to do absolutely nothing for the community. And I would rather have somebody do nothing for me and allow me to figure it out for myself than have someone who, you know, gives us the same promises that we've already been getting.
Brian.
So you mentioned third party, Adam. Joe, you were were you Republican? Then you went to Green Party. Then you went back to Republican. I'm only just seeing this now. So you have to explain that to me.
So what happened was I became a Republican when I was in the military back in 2004. I was getting out the military to get into politics. And when I told my dad that I was a Republican, he was like, oh, no, son, black people does not get into politics and be Republican. You have to be Green Party. So I didn't switch my voter registration to Green Party. He switched my party affiliation for the campaign to Green Party. And I switched it back. I'm not down with the Green Party. They have very nice people. But when it comes, I'm pro-military, I'm pro-guns, and I don't want socialized health care. So, you know, you create a lot of rifts with that, and that's their whole entire platform.
How you doing? How's Thanksgiving? I mean, how you doing with the family?
The family is good. They've coped with the fact that I am a Republican, and they got to vote for me. They got to tell all their friends to vote for me, because if not, then, you know, I'm not going to give presents and food on Thanksgiving. But, you know, it's a work in progress. They didn't want me to join the military. I was successful with that. They didn't want me to get into politics and be Republican. I've been successful with that as well. It's all about, and I say this a lot of times, we get discouraged by the things people say, but we have to block out the noise and we have to go with what our heart says and pray and listen to God and go with what he says. Because, you know, if I had to listen to every single person that told me I would not be successful by joining the military, starting my own business, or even getting into politics, I would probably be homeless.
Did you, were you on an aircraft carrier?
You know what? I've been on a few aircraft carriers, but I have not done a deployment on an aircraft carrier. Although I was a jet engine mechanic, we did a boots on the ground tour in Iraq. Now, whenever I was stationed in Oklahoma, one of the secret squadrons.
So you were working on F-18 Super Hornets and amongst others. I have a semi-obsession with a military aircraft. What's your favorite military aircraft? You have one?
It would have to be the I'm Navy, so I'm gonna go with the Super Hornet. But the new Joint Strike Fighter, that's a bad aircraft.
Is that the F-22 or is that the one more recent than that?
Yeah, the F-35.
Oh, the F-35. God.
Yeah, F-35.
I'm gonna go old school. I'm gonna go F-4 Phantom.
F-4 Phantom. That's a good one. That's a good one.
That's one of the, you know, there's certain planes and there's certain cars and there's certain designs that just look aggressive. You know what I'm saying? Like if you see a Mazda Miata, it works good, but it doesn't look mean or angry. Yeah. F4 Phantom, you get the right picture of an F4 Phantom and it looks angry. It looks.
Well, I'll tell you this. So I'm not a Russian agent. I'm not a Russian spy. I'm not a fan of Russia.
That's exactly what a Russian spy would say.
That's what I've heard.
But Roger Stone.
There's not a lot of black people in Russia, so yeah. I think I'm good. So the SU-37 Terminator, when it comes to mobility and firepower, would have to be hands down my favorite aircraft.
Is that a Russian?
It is a Russian. And the reason why is because it can do a backflip.
Really? What?
Yeah, SU-37 Terminator can do a backflip. It can stop on a drop of a dime.
Is that the one they do the Cobra move with?
Yeah. That's a bad aircraft right there.
You guys ever see the Russian pilots do the Cobra move?
No. Oh, like it stands kind of up while it goes?
Yeah. And they're not – are they done with the MiGs over there? There's no MiG designation?
I think they're still making MiGs, but it's a separate class of aircraft than the SU-37.
You know what I like about Russia? You can purchase a used MiG if you need one. Like everything's for sale over there.
Yeah.
You could buy like a MiG 22 or MiG whatever from like the Vietnam era, bring it over here. Put a, I don't know, Pratt & Whitney engine or something, like a more modern engine and flight controls in it, and fly your MiG at the Reno Air Show. I think they even have a class at the Reno Air Show, the MiGs. Or you know better than I do, I guess, Joe. We'll try to find that Cobra move. We're looking at your favorite Russian aircraft right now. There it is.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like doing a wheelie in the air.
Yeah, the brakes.
I definitely go up with the Blue Angels, but I don't know about the drunken MiG pilots. Like I'd be a little freaked out climbing in that thing when the guy did the full. We just saw him do a full Cobra move. So he's flying level flight, pops the nose up, pulls a wheelie basically, and kicks the rear end out further than the front end, like a wheelie that went past your center of gravity, past
the backflip.
What is the besides looking super cool, what is the point of that?
Getting laid.
Is there a
maneuverability?
Okay. Yeah.
Gotcha.
You're just
maneuverability. It's for dogs. And getting laid. Nobody dogs fights anymore.
Yeah, it's all just done through. Well, you pump for the Top Gun?
I'm not sure yet. I'm still trying to take it all in.
Can you? All right. So let me say this. I don't know that much about military aircraft, but I do know a lot about carpentry. And if they ever make a movie where the guy's a carpenter, it always bumps me because there's stuff he's not doing right.
Yeah.
Can you watch Top Gun and not be bumped?
You know what? I've had a lot of experience with pilots. You know, Mike Garcia just got elected into Congress down here, and He was my pilot whenever he was going through his training at VFA 122. So I know the shenanigans and the training that comes along with pilots, and we just shake our heads and don't question anything that they have to say.
When you say your pilot, like you're assigned to his aircraft or he's assigned to your aircraft?
Yeah, he's assigned to my aircraft.
Do they assign you one aircraft or multiple aircraft? How's that work?
Yeah, it just depends on how good you are. I have four aircraft. So I have four different pilots.
And you're in charge of maintenance and rebuilding the stuff, and you do it by the hour, by the minute, I guess? Like how many hours are on the jet, on the jet engine?
Yeah, for the most part, yeah.
And were you taking them down, and would you tear them apart and rebuild them, or how would that work?
I tell you what, I was the best jet engine mechanic in every single squadron that I've been at.
Wow. Confident.
I like it. Yeah,
I like
good.
That.
Talk to some other people.
Yeah. The only reason why is because I'm 5'6", and back then I was about 140 pounds, so I can fit into the fuel cell. So unless you can fit into a fuel cell and do fuel cell work, you weren't the best.
And 13 and a half in the Navy, and now running for Congress, by the way, congressional candidate, California 43rd distance, district. Sorry. My whole thing with, I'd go full Trump and just go, what do you have to lose? I mean, come on, Maxine Waters since 1976. What year?
I want to correct that. She was 76. She's a state assembly statewoman. 91 is when she was elected into Congress.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What year did I do politically incorrect with her? It's a weird thing. It must have been the late 90s. God. Let me tell people about your 2000.
Yeah.
Tell people about your website, joecollinsforcongress.com. That's joecollinsforcongress.com. Joe, come back on when we get closer to the election, and we'll talk to you a little more about your life in the congressional run.
Absolutely. I look forward to it.
Thank you, Joe Collins, for joining us. All right, we'll take a quick break, and we'll come back, and we'll do the news right after this.